Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Open your hearts, loosen your butts. It's time for couples therapy. And then I'm going to do like a really earnest one, I think. Open your hearts, loosen your butts. It's time for couples therapy.
Yeah, this podcast is Andy and Naomi's, where they can both laugh and hang with all their homies, talking excellent vacationing with brunches and cuddling, to messy situationships and conscious and coupling, from Netflix hookups to single them with some Hulu, text, sex, regrets, or feeling on your new jubu. They gon' talk about it, yeah, you are invited, needing therapy, I guarantee, baby, we got it.
It's couples therapy, couples therapy.
Welcome to Couples Therapy. My name is Andy.
And my name is Naomi.
We're a real life couple.
A real life couple of comedians.
And on Couples Therapy, we answer a couple different questions from a couple different listeners. I'm laughing because right before we started, I started doing the intro to my other podcast, Beginnings.
He was like, wait a minute, how do we start this? But then it was also, even before that, I was like breathing heavily into the mic. Like, I don't fucking know Hannibal Lecter. And then when Andy was like, how do I start this? It was a long beat before I knew what to tell him.
Yeah. By the way, Naomi is dressed like Hannibal Lecter. She's got the face mask on. She's strapped to a gurney, to one of them stand-up gurneys.
You know what?
Hand truck? Was he basically strapped to a hand truck? I can't remember. Like, did they just take that from the frozen food section of Pathmark? They just pulled the eggs off of it?
Possibly. Look, when you're transporting Hannibal Lecter, you've got to think outside the box. So sure, they were like, well, if he's laying down the whole time, that could be disorienting. Why don't we just get the hand truck? Head truck and some seatbelts.
Let me get this Dannon and Yoplait off this, then we'll strap this murderer to it.
Dannon and Yoplait. What specific name checks of yogurt? Andy, I did not know you would really come in there with the yogurt brands.
Let me get this Chobani off here.
Oh my God. That's like new. I prefer the, because when you say Dannon or Yoplait, I'm visualizing commercials from 1996. Mm-hmm. So I appreciate that. What a time. You guys, we're recording this. Stop it, Andy. He laughs so hard when because, I try to pivot. And he's so funny when I say anyway.
Because what a time. We're so pregnant with despair, I guess.
But see, I think if somebody had been listening, they wouldn't have thought it was pregnant with despair. You only know it's despair because you're looking at me and know I haven't slept in 2 days.
Listeners, I'm going to put up a poll on Instagram.
Okay, you gonna play the audio clip of me saying?
No, I'm gonna say you have to listen to today's episode, so I'm gonna put it up later today. And I'm gonna say, did you think that Naomi's pivot was pregnant with despair?
Okay.
Did you think it was 8 months eating weird shrimp and chocolate or whatever?
What is your idea of what a pregnant woman does? Eating shrimp and chocolate at 8 months?
My knowledge of pregnancy all comes from TV.
And I know.
And it's the husband's getting sent out to be like, I had to go get, you know, grits and gummy bears.
No, it's always in TV and movies. It's always, she needed pickles and ice cream. It's always pickles and ice cream. And it's like, can you think of any other salty sweet combination on earth, people who write things? And that includes myself.
Gumbo and honey roasted peanuts.
Ew, stop it. Now you're just going to make people nauseous. So the point is, see if it was pregnant 8 months along wanting gumbo and grits. But I don't think it was. It was me pivoting. It was me saying, look, at the time of this recording, it's Friday. But by the time you listen to this, we will have had MLK Day. Did you enjoy your day off? Did you do something for a black person or in the name of advancing equality?
Did you put a black square up on Instagram like you should have?
Did you call If you have a female partner, did you refer to them as your Coretta?
God.
Because you know that's what Jonathan Majors out here doing. He told a white girl to be Coretta. Then he said Megan Good is his Coretta. I said, stop saying Coretta. Stop getting Coretta. Coretta would like to be excluded from this narrative. Okay? Well, maybe, I think it's safe to say that.
Maybe he was talking about Retta.
No.
Star of Parks and Rec.
He wasn't talking about
and Good Girls.
Retta. See, Andy be adding the stuff and it'll be like, no, that's not it. Stay in the world I'm in, which is let's blow out Jonathan Majors.
Yes, let's, okay, let's talk about his weepy post-trial tour. I'm not a bad person.
Oh my God. I just think, you know, it's just not good when we're also, I just don't appreciate evoking the names of historical figures, civil rights leaders in your personal journey. Okay? Because I would tell you this right now. As I said, don't be getting MLK involved in things. Don't be getting Coretta involved in things. If you wanna use their name, you need to be using their name to save lives. Okay? I don't want to hear nothing else. Talk about some Andy. I'm trying to think of who I would call you.
What do you mean?
As in, like, is there a prominent white male spouse?
Uh-huh.
Or you know what I mean? Or someone who was like a
Ina Garten's Jeffrey.
Wow. I think that being the first response is a call for white men to do better. Because we couldn't come up with nobody better than Jeffrey. That's just a fact, okay?
Just, you know, silent, what? Right? I've never seen the show in my life. Is he just like a silent person just like there in the
Jeffrey's
background?
Jeffrey's like always gone, and that's why Anna's cooking and having fun with her friends, I believe. Or like he's there for a minute.
He's her Maris from Frasier.
Kind of.
Is that true?
I think he does come through. But you guys, can you think of any like white male spouses where you were like, this person stood by as their partner was like lifted up, and or not even lifted up, was as their partner was like doing big things. But this is my other problem with the whole Coretta thing. Coretta did shit in her own right. That's the thing too. It's like, stop trying to be like, oh, she's a famous wife to a great man. Coretta was out here, okay? There's a Coretta Scott King Book Awards to this day, okay? Coretta said, let the children learn. Hear their laughter, okay? So stop making it even seem like Coretta's job was just to like be the support to MLK Jr. I mean, you guys, sometimes I come to the mic and I'm just loose. I'm telling you whatever's in my head. The filter's down. You know what? Why don't I stop popping off at the mouth like this? If you want to hear more of this level of nonsense, join us on Patreon. Okay, I'll just tell you that right now. Okay, patreon.com/couplestherapypod. We come through with two bonus episodes.
Lots of other stuff, which, you know.
Look, it's a new year. We're going to be rolling some new stuff out. You know, we're kind of figuring out, like, what's the best way to sort of, what's the word? Sort of, like, not brand it, but sort of how do you sort of delineate the different things we're thinking about doing on the page?
Because we're not doing tiers. We're not doing tiers. We're not making it. It's $5.
No, $5 only. All these different levels, and you get a sticker, and maybe you get a kiss, and then maybe you get whatever. No, just five. Put five on it, okay? That's how we do in this life. We put five on it.
No. I'm going to have a $20 tier.
Oh.
If you sign up for that, I will put on lipstick, kiss a piece of paper, and say, love, Andy, and then mail it to you.
Wow. Okay. You know what? Actually, that's a deal.
I'll put on lipstick like Steve Buscemi in Billy Madison. Just like really.
Real,
know.
Just all over the place.
Yeah.
Thick. Bright. Yeah. That'll be good, I think.
It's a $20 tier.
How many of you would spend $20 for that? But it's so funny because we don't even need to talk about Patreon right now, Andy, because we end up talking about it in this episode.
Yes.
Okay, we end up talking about it.
And how? How does it come up? What? In what way? Well, listeners, you're going to have to tune in to find out. So keep your finger off that stop button.
Keep your finger off that stop button. So keep off.
Yeah.
Keep off is what it keep said.
Because Naomi, who's our guest today?
Who, honey? We have the lovely, the funny, the talented.
Yes, very much so.
Allison Tolman. Can you believe? You guys, Allison Tolman is an actor who you have seen on Fargo. Mm-hmm. Okay. Shining Veil, Gaslit, Good Girls, Why Women Kill, many, many, many more. All right. And, you know, Allison, she came with an open heart.
Mm-hmm.
She came with a loose butt. She came knowing.
I was very excited.
She knew.
Very excited. Fan of hers since Fargo.
I know. And I was just so honored that she even knew we existed. You know, I'm always like surprised when people know I exist because like I don't live in a world where where things happen.
Well,
where like it's like
I blame Dalton for that. I blame Dalton.
The Dalton School?
For you being constantly constantly surprised regardless of how many people send you messages of love.
Well, no, it's that literally, I don't get invited to things. I don't get invited to high profile things. I don't really get contacted. Like, I don't like, so I don't think that I'm in the echelon of people like Allison who are out here with, you know, the Emmy nominations. You know what I'm saying? So, like, I don't know. I'm just always like surprised. Plus, it's like, I think the nature of being a comic where you're just like, I'm a fucking clown in the back of a dirty bar, you know, for the most part. Like, literally for every one, you know, moment in the sun on Netflix, it's like 10,000 hours of being in the back of a filthy bar, stepping in wet beer.
And that is your new act now, right? You are doing old Commedia dell'arte type clownery.
Yes, I am, Andy. You know why? Because you can wear a face mask. All right. So I've got the N95, but then on top of that is my tragedy mask. And then I'm just doing a lot of movement work. Mm-hmm. All right.
It's a bold new step, a bold new direction for you, Naomi.
I said, why not? What have you got to lose?
Honestly, nothing, right?
I know. We just got to get a famous person to direct. Maybe I can get a special. Fully silent special.
Ava DuVernay. What are you doing? What are you doing? After you've done this campaign for Origin, why not direct Naomi's new Commedia dell'arte silent comedy special?
Think about that. 3 hours, black and white. And the soundtrack should be like, what do you call it? Like noise music, like discordant, like stuff.
I think you're thinking of more of like kind of discordant classical. Like Xenakis or someone like that.
That's what I'm thinking of. I don't know who Xenakis is, but that's exactly it, Andy. I'm thinking of Xenakis. So, Ava, if you're listening, because who knows who's listening?
What did it say in intro?
You know what? And when I said I didn't sleep for 2 days, you are hearing it. You are hearing it. You are feeling it. Can you sense that I can't fully keep my eyes open?
Tammy's literally falling asleep as we're talking.
But like, if I fell asleep, that would be a gift. I would welcome it. The problem is, I don't fully fall asleep, but I also can't keep my eyes open.
We just tuck you in at the microphone.
I think we're gonna unpack this journey more on the page. But just to let people know, just to close the loop, you know, our new bed was delivered yesterday.
Yes,
and it is a sturdy, nice bed. My not sleeping last night has nothing to do with the new bed frame. It's beautiful. It makes me so happy. Our bedroom is now mostly bed. Even though I guess it was before, but there's something about this new one. I don't know what it is. The point is, I look at the bed frame and I feel like an adult. And it does feel sturdy. Yeah. And I was able to move my body without hearing creaks and groans. Because, I mean, I swear to God, honey, I would turn over in that damn IKEA frame and you could hear that bed groaning for dear life. And now, silent. Okay. Silent. Wood slats flat.
That's the name of your new special.
Wood slats flat. Okay. Absolutely.
You know what? Why don't we get into the episode?
We have to because I could do this for 90 years.
We are losing our minds.
Because honestly, we had such, this was like on, it was a really great episode. My first time, both of our first time meeting Allison and getting to talk to her. And she was just so lovely. And I'm hoping we can be friends. So without further ado, why don't you listen to Our Love Blossom with Allison Tolman?
Roll it.
I'm going to use that as a jumping off point for the first question, which is...
But I'm going to say this as the person who edits it, reset, because they're not going to hear...
Yeah, I know. So, Allison, when we ask...
Guys, please don't fight. Please don't fight, you guys.
Was that a fight? Because that's...
Yes.
I thought that was a
yes,
gentle...
Yes, you undermined me in front of company.
When you're conflict adverse like I am, then yes, that was a huge fight.
But what I was going to say, when we asked you to say the opening line, you said immediately, you go, what about two takes? I'm going to do two different ways. Are you always giving extra? As a person, are you like, here are options, or like, what do you need, you know?
Yes, I always say like, I'm a very solution-oriented person, and I don't like presenting problems that I don't already have solutions in place to in my mind. I don't know if that's middle child energy or what that is, but... Yeah, I think I am an over-functioner in that way. Yes.
When you say middle child energy, is that when you were a child? Is that what you were giving?
Yeah. I was also like, I was the youngest until I was like 8 or 9. And then my sister was adopted. And so I had a quick shift into middle child and out of the baby. I think I probably learned.
But did you take to it? Did you take to the shift, or were you like, I'm the baby, gotta love me?
I did. I think I was a pretty good big sister. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Let's bring her in. Let's get Elena in here. No, I don't know. I think I took to it pretty well.
Okay. Yeah.
And were you watching Dinosaurs on ABC?
Yeah.
I absolutely was. Not the baby. I was.
Exactly.
What a bizarre show. Was that
so
anywhere?
Bizarre, but also so formative for so many of us.
Yes. God, what a weird show.
A kid I went to college with, his dad created that show. And that I was like, now you're cool. Like, I was like... Shout out to Jesse Young, son of Bob Young.
You ever made out with
Dinosaurs?
Him?
No. Okay. No, Andrew. He's always asking if I made out with people. Now, you...
No matter where we are, when we are,
yeah.
I'm like, I just point to a random person and go, hey, did you make out with that guy?
Yeah.
Yeah. Just, like, you commit to a bit. That's good, though.
don't support that. Don't support committing to a bit. No,
I'm gonna say, Jamie, I'm gonna say your eyes got real big when I said your eyes got real wide. Oh, he does.
He does. But you were saying, too, you were, like, being conflict averse. Is that... Now, does... Why? Why? Not that I love conflict, but I do...
You hate conflict. We all hate conflict.
We hate it, but I also think... Because, for instance, you and I, Andy, like, I'll start some conflict. Because I think it's about feeling safe, right? Mm-hmm. Like, there's a... Like, if I can actually argue or say I don't like something...
Yeah.
That's a hallmark of, like... I'm safe here.
Yes. I think I'm realizing in this moment I've never felt safe anywhere. No, mm-hmm,
mm-hmm, I understand.
Uh-huh, uh-huh. Mm-hmm. No, I agree. I think that is like, I think it's comforting to be able to have people in your life that you can be like, I disagree, or we're on different pages about that. But that's not how we were in my family. Like, that's not my family of origin is not really that way. And so I don't think I have, it's not in my DNA to like roll through mm-hmm. conflict and be like, it made us stronger. We just don't really fight in my family. We just don't really do it. It's something I'm having to learn as an adult, you know?
Yeah. Well, that's the question was, yeah. What about in relationships? Are you conflict averse at all? Or
yeah, I am quite, or have historically been. I'm like deep into therapy now. I've been in therapy for years, but I'm deep into therapy now. Still after a breakup at the end of 2019, I was in a long-term relationship and we never fought and things were not great. But we never ever fought. And so it's like one of the skills I've been trying to kind of develop in therapy, like after that relationship for myself moving forward into other relationships, is like how to disagree, how to feel like safe being on a different page from somebody. Like that's a huge piece of like the self-work that I'm doing right now. Not to immediately get into therapy, but...
No, absolutely, immediately. Absolutely. Yeah, sure. You know, that's all I want.
Yeah. Good. That's the thing that fills up my heart.
I said, self-work? Yeah. Tell me more.
Self-work, baby. Twice a week. Come on.
Yeah. You know. Twice a week. Okay, getting into it.
I'm an individual and I'm in group therapy as well. So I do all of the things.
Do you enjoy it, the group therapy?
I do enjoy group therapy. I don't know if you've ever done group therapy. It's like a totally different animal.
Yeah.
And is super... scary to like get into and like to learn how to, it's kind of, I just can be very like activating. And the whole purpose of it is to be activating, which it definitely is. So now I've been in it for about a year and I'm like, okay, I've got the hang of it. But when I started, I was like, oh my God, everyone's just saying their feelings out loud in real time, no matter what they are. Like, I was like, this is terrible.
Right.
It was very stressful, but now I really love it.
Is it obviously not about the people, but is it a share situation where everyone kind of brings whatever they're feeling, or is it activity and exercise based?
No, yeah, it's just a share situation. And
okay.
And everybody kind of like, it's always interesting to see like how you kick things off. Like, where do you, how do you, what's the way in for the week? But I always say like, you know, in therapy, you're like, this is what happened this week. And like, this person said this thing to me and I got mad and I realized it reminded me of my sister and blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. But like in group, everything is just like an impetus for someone to then be like, the thing you just said made me jealous in real time. And you're like, cool, let's look at that. It's like, you know, it's terrifying because you're just like firing each other off like all the time, all over the place. But you have created this kind of safe space to do it. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's wild. It really is wild. I love it, but it's nuts.
What prompted, sorry, I've only ever seen group therapy on television. So I don't know it's either like a circle and there's a therapist and then it always gets out of hand because that's what people write, like, you know, and then someone storms out. Or it's like EST or something and people are just screaming at each other.
Yeah, so
what's the reality like? What prompted you to start group therapy? And B, what is the reality?
My individual therapist had a group and she felt like that I would benefit from it because so much of my work is about like how I fit into my family, how I fit into a group, like how I relate to other people, how I see myself through other people's eyes and reality testing that. And so she had been telling me I should join, but I was working and I was like, I can't guarantee that I can. I don't know that it's a good time. And then I had a break between jobs, and so I was like, I can commit. And so I did it. And then guess what? I didn't work for a long time, so it worked out terrific. And I was able to be there, you know, consistently. I forgot the second part of your question. I'm sorry.
The reality of
what is
group?
A group actually runs. I mean, it's different. I cry in group a lot because, like, I don't know. Sometimes I just have a feeling and I'm like, oh God, what's it doing? I cry in group a lot less than in the beginning. I cried like every week. I would cry. Something would make me cry. And not like someone was making me cry, but I was just like, what is all these things are like boiling around. Yeah. I was just like tender, you know? And there's not like, we're not allowed to attack each other. We always say like that's the one thing, the one rule. We're not allowed to attack each other, which is a good rule.
Yeah.
But things can get like heated and things can get like, you know.
Can they challenge you? Can other people in the group?
Yeah, is there a crosstalk going on?
Yeah. Our therapist doesn't really regulate us a ton. So there is crosstalk. I mean, it's all over Zoom too. So like we only really meet in Zoom. And then the, you know, the challenge is to be like, when you spoke over Janice, it really made me angry because, and I think it's because of my parents, you know, like that's the challenge, is just to keep everything like really present and really in real time, which is a good lesson anyway, I think, but that is like the challenge and to get out of our own narratives. And but like, it's not like, you know, I don't know if you guys there when therapy, like, do you ever have like performance anxiety where you're like, what am I going to talk about this week?
Absolutely.
Like,
absolutely.
There's none of that for me. There's none of that because I'm like, every week I'm like, I have no, it's like doing a Herald. It's like doing improv. You're like, who fucking knows what suggestion we're going to get or how we're going to end up. I don't know. You know?
Yeah.
So there's like not a lot of like performance anxiety, I think, in that way that we can get sometimes with individual therapy.
Yeah, my therapy is kind of like doing the game before Harold, like a pattern game, except it always ends up in either COVID or dystopia. So no matter what the suggestion is,
you get there.
I can get there within I can get to one of those two things
in five moves
within a couple moves.
That's
and then
good.
Every scene is just what's going on? Why is everything fucking insane? What is happening? And then my therapist is like, why do you keep doing this? Why do you do this to us?
You haven't gotten over it yet. You haven't gotten through it yet.
Nope.
I wonder why, because it's still going on, possibly.
Possibly.
I counted the other day. I don't know what I was doing, but I was like, oh man, it's been such a crazy 3 years. And then I was like, oh no, it's been 4 years of this. 4 years of this nonsense. Like, we've had such a strange, awful time.
I mean, like, I'm going back to 2016.
Do you know what I mean? Like, I was like, that's when it started off.
Oh, I'm saying this is where I'm talking, and we'll get off this in about 2 seconds, because we are supposed to provide relief to the audience. But I said that this started with the hanging chads, with the stopping of the recount in Florida.
Yes.
That's the beginning. That's where I'm charting this from. And the period from that to 2023
has been wackadoo. You're right. It's been wackadoo. You're right. It's been wackadoo since he who shall not be named. Is that what we call him these days?
Honey, who ain't a Voldemort?
There's like 40 Voldemorts.
They're all Voldemorts.
They who shall not be named. Let's play with pronouns.
Too many Voldemorts.
Now, as you said, you know, you ended a relationship in 2019. We all went into lockdown in 2020, re-emerging, doing self-work. Are you in the mood to date? Is it even something you trying out in these streets?
I thought I was. Like, I was, because last year around this time, I was like, I'm fucking ready. I did it. I've done the work and I'm healed. I'm better. So I started dating again and dated around a little bit and then like met someone and like very quickly fell for him. And we broke up after like a short relationship. And our breakup just like the bottom just fell out of like all of this work I thought I had done. And I was like, oh, no. Like,
yeah.
There's self-worth shit down there. Like, I didn't even know. So yeah. I thought I was like had climbed like into like where I could see the sunlight, and then like at the cavern, like I was like, there's more. So I took a big step back and I'm not really dating again.
But that sounds very self-aware, you know, like I don't, you know, the idea that you're like, oh, this happened. I realize it's because some, you know, the foundation isn't quite as strong as I thought.
Yeah.
And I'm going to stop. Because like
I'm good at self-awareness for sure. Okay. I just intellectualize things and don't like feel the things.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I see what's happening. Facts and figures. And I pull down a chart and I point to things.
yeah, I get that.
You guys should see the object work.
Wait. Can I ask that? Where are your parents from? Because you grew up in Texas. Well, you mostly, right?
Yeah, almost exclusively. Yeah. My parents both had parents in the army, so they moved around quite a bit, but they met in Arkansas at the University of Arkansas when they were 17 and 18 years old.
Wow.
I know. So yeah, they're Texans now. Like they've like they've got accents. My dad drove a truck for a while. Like they are Texans now. Although like not the kind that own guns and vote Republican. But yeah, they're fully entrenched now in the suburbs of Houston. That's their spot.
Uh-huh.
But you were saying how you're like, we didn't really argue in my family. We kind of weren't direct. And that is that kind of what you're getting at?
Well,
you grew up
where
with?
I'm wondering, you know, are these patterns, this repression? Because I associate repression more with Rust Belt, but there is a Southern.
Oh, no.
Southern flavor.
Yes. Bless her heart.
Yeah. Bless her heart. yeah. I don't know. I always say like my family is like surprisingly like WASPy in the way that we operate for a non-Christian family. Like we're surprisingly like that's not polite, you know. But I don't know that it's regional. I think it just is like I don't know. I've never really thought about like my mom grew up in a household that wasn't great. And so I think that it was she and her sister and she was like the good girl. And so I think that just like carried into her life and into the way that she operates and into the way that she operated within her family was like everything is fine.
Yeah.
But I
had, she had to be fine, you know. Yeah, it's just America.
I don't think so. I think there are definitely cultures and societies that foster a certain way. Because I always say, like, Black people are direct as hell. Like, American Black people would just kind of tell you, they'll roast you, they'll call out literally whatever flaw you're demonstrating in the moment. And it's like, not even necessarily to be mean. It's almost like a way of relating.
Yeah.
And like, I think, but then I also think that can be different if you were, for instance, a Black person who grew up around a lot of white people. And then it's important, for instance, to convey like, we're put together, we deserve to be here, right? Like all those are different things that might kind of adjust how you interact, you know?
Yeah, it's so interesting too that you say that because I've been thinking about this a lot recently, my sister is adopted and she's from Guatemala. And so she grew up in a white family in Texas looking Latino, and she's still in Texas. And so that was like a major theme for her growing up, was like, and still like people go up to her and speak Spanish. And she's like, I don't speak Spanish. I don't speak Spanish. I'm not, I don't know how to help you. But I have been thinking about it a lot, about like people of different colors that grew up in predominantly white spaces, and like what that experience was like for them, and like what that was like for my sister. And it wasn't something that we addressed. It wasn't something that we spoke about. I think that, you know, now when people adopt kids from different cultures, there's like more of a sense of like, let's preserve this. Like,
yes.
And I think my parents would do things differently now. They would get her in Spanish tutoring and make sure she kept, like, she was adopted when she was a year and a half, so she had some Spanish, but not a lot. She hadn't been speaking much. But I think that they would have like kept that up and like, you know, had given her some sense of like what her culture was, I think. But like, you didn't do that when my sister was adopted, you know?
Yeah. This is like 80s, 90s, right?
Yeah, she was adopted in the late 80s, I think. I was born in 81.
Yeah, 89. I feel like it was all about like that kind of transracial adoption was like, and I think the 80s and 90s in general, when we kind of thought we were a better nation, it was like, we don't acknowledge, like, the thing is, like, we're all the same, right? And
yes.
Like, that was what you wanted to put forward.
That's how I grew up. My parents, very egalitarian, but like, everyone, every culture is the exact same.
Right. And so it's like the flip side of that is like then not honoring and recognizing and respecting the differences. But
yeah,
that's like we thought we were doing good.
We did. Exactly. Like we thought we were doing what we were supposed to be doing.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Yeah. I don't know.
But it is interesting. So like realizing the floor kind of fell out and being like, okay, I got to take a step back.
Yeah. I really like your metaphor of like you're spelunking or something and you get down on some rocks and you're like, oh, here, this is the bottom of this, cave. And then, you know, the floor rumbles below you.
Yes.
It's like what I'm imagining, because I've been playing all year, Tears of the Kingdom, Legend of Zelda, Tears of the Kingdom.
And okay.
There's a lot of spelunking. A lot of spelunking in that game.
There are a lot
more
of rocks.
Yeah. I would say I expected zero spelunking when I started playing. And then I found out a full third of the game, if not more, is spelunking.
You know, I don't know what I'm watching, because I kind of come in the room and I see Zelda's happening and I exit. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's not really...
That's your cue. Yeah.
Beautiful graphics, sure. Uh-huh. But it's kind
of
like...
Yeah. I was riding a dragon and I was just standing on top of the dragon. My little elf cap flowing in the wind as the dragon, as the beautiful graphics. But you're in a cave and then you see some rocks below you and you're like, oh, there's something below me. And then you can blow it up or something, and then, or pickaxe.
I need y'all to know that as Andy was describing Zelda, Allison looked like she was listening to a kindergartner describe a movie. She was like, okay.
Do you know how I read, Allison, how I read your, what I looked up, because I was looking everywhere, but at another human being as I was trying to describe this. It looked like you were on a date with someone and they were talking about like anime. I don't know. Something, I was trying to think of something.
Something
like
very, you're not interested something in whatsoever. You would not,
but I don't know what you're interested in. But but like something very involved, something very with a deep history that the person that they're on the date with is would not be interested in.
Right. Well,
see,
I
this
think
is why I can't date
better.
Right now, you guys. I got to fix my face. Can't do it. Got to fix my face.
Anyway, there's depths. There were more depths.
There was more there than I realized was there, for sure.
Now, obviously, 6 months of strike aside, when you sort of, you know, and obviously, okay, therapy's twice a week, but are you in general the kind of person who will just like throw themselves into work? Are you a person who will sort of retreat? And I say this as someone who's really, as I've been dealing with my mental health journey, I realize that I just kind of go catatonic. I'm not, you know, and you were mentioning being an over-functioner. Mm-hmm. And so I'm wondering if like, when you're kind of like, I got to take a step back, I got to spelunk, what's going on in the other hours of the day?
Yeah, I struggle with that for sure. I do really like working and I like being busy. I like being part of a team. Like that makes me feel really safe and like valuable. And so work is good for that. And I was a strike captain. So for SAG. And I was, I picketed with the WGA from the start because, well, because I believed in their cause, because I guess, because I believed in their cause, but also I had gone through this breakup and I was really depressed. I was really struggling. And I live so close to Netflix that it started out that I would just, I love that I could walk out my door and be like in community, and in 5 minutes I could be with my peers and feel like I was like outside of myself and like helping with something larger than myself.
Yeah.
Because I was just in such a depression. It really saved me in a lot of ways to have the WGA strike going on. And then I was so familiar with, I skipped around a little bit, but mostly went to Netflix because I just could walk. So it was so close. So then when it became evident that SAG was going to strike, I was like, oh, I should probably captain because I'm here all the time anyway. And I have watched them do it and I know how it's done, et cetera, et cetera. So I took on a captaining position at Netflix, which then sort of took over my whole life. And I was like in charge of scheduling and I was there 4 or 5 days a week. And I was, you know, but really, again, like just really saved me in a lot of ways, I think, from just like sitting in like the stew of your own self-work all the time is just not, it's not good for me for sure. So it kind of helped me claw my way, like get my footing, if we're going to continue the metaphor, like get my footing in the cave a little bit and be like, I'm on a ledge where I can like take a pause and drink some water, you know? Woo! Do I have any like granola bars in this pack? So yeah, I very much like having a purpose and like being part of a team and being able to like, quite frankly, like be good at something and like, and feel purposeful. And again, like I get a lot of my, I'm working on this a lot. Like I get a lot of my like self-worth comes from being useful and comes from like helping people and like being good at things. Which is like obviously something I should probably interrogate a little further.
Well, that's my therapist says that too, but I don't get why that's bad. Cause I'm like, I'm like, I feel, cause it's funny. Cause one of the things she has me doing, and it's like very annoying, is she's like, hour by hour, I want you to chart your mood from 0 to 10. And it's about finding the activities that make you feel closer to 10. Right. Mm-hmm. And like the things that make me feel better is like, I finally folded the laundry. 7. Mm-hmm. And like, that's where I'm like,
that's a 7.
Yeah. I mean, a full 10 is like killing on stage. You know what I mean? And like doing something like that. But like, but it is very much tied to like, I got something done. Because as I said, like, I go catatonic. So like, but when I'm doing, I'm like, well, even if you don't feel good, at least you contributed something.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. 100%. And I'm big on like helping people and feeling like, that I've like made someone else's experience, improved their experience in some way. And I think it's helped. I've talked to my therapist about the same thing. And one of the things that I'm trying to like get into my brain is like that it's okay to like your coping mechanisms aren't necessarily bad. Like they can be really valuable and like add value to your life. And like they kept you safe and like they can actually be good things. Like I think it's good that I'm like other oriented and stuff like that. But the key is like, trying to separate, like trying to appreciate them for what they are as like good skills, but not let them be like your self-worth. Like your value doesn't come from them.
So where does like, your value come from? Because I'm hearing
girl,
you.
I don't know.
And I'm like, I don't know where it's supposed to be.
Where does your, I like the question, but it's so.
Because I'm trying to figure it out. Because I'm with
I don't
you.
Know.
I'm with
I don't
you.
Know. But it is, I feel, it does. I feel like, it. I feel, it's like when you are like, for me, like I had too many stuffed animals as a kid. I had to like rotate them out because I was worried that like that stuffed animal would be sad that it didn't get a chance in my bed. Like that was like, I had like a rotation. It's the same thing. Like, I'm like, but like that skill like really helped me. Like I love that skill. And I like, I worked really hard on that skill. I want it to be, I don't want it to think I don't appreciate it. You know, I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
No, I totally had stuffed that. I mostly had like little figures, like little like rubber monsters and stuff like that. And I had my gnome and I had all this stuff. And it's not insane to see how I got into writing stories because full stories with continuity.
Complicated.
Things would carry over. Something would happen to one of them. But there was a hierarchy. Gnome was at the top.
Yeah.
Gnome was at the top of this hierarchy. But then I felt bad for the other ones. And there was... And so you, in my this fantasy life, you know, you would do things for them,
yeah,
to make them feel better,
right?
Yeah,
that they'll never replace Gnome in my
right.
I can remember like throwing away like toothbrushes after having been to the dentist, and like throwing away my old toothbrush when I was time to open a new one. I'm being like, "You were a good toothbrush." Like that's how like tenderhearted I was as a kid. It's like, you did so good, and I'm like, and I like appreciate our time together, toothbrush. Like that is how my sense of like fairness is like so overdeveloped. Like
Definitely. So you're putting the toothbrush in the garbage, and you're like, "It's so hard." To say goodbye.
Yeah, exactly.
To this toothbrush.
So
that's your journey with a toothbrush, for example.
Wow. Now, weird Naomi over here.
I know. Allison's charging me up. Because my next question, of course, before we start answering other people's questions, how has being a member of the Couples Therapy Patreon helped you?
A fucking seamless transition.
You know, listeners. I had to get it on mic. You know, I had to get it on mic.
I know. When we first hopped on, listeners, I was like, I subscribe to your Patreon. I'm like a fan.
Can you imagine, you guys?
And you should too, guys. I fucking love Patreon. I think it's like such a cool, like platform for artists. And I don't know, I really do like it. I would recommend it. And I think a lot of Patreon is like, it is like podcasts being like, hey, there's more shit over here. Like you get more content over here. But I subscribe to like, I don't know, some like social activists and like my old yoga instructor. I'm like have her Patreon on there. Just like,
is she giving videos and stuff? Is like her Patreon like videos and
it's like videos and like tutorials and things like that.
You guys, I'm not promoting her. I was just curious.
This is for you guys and your Patreon.
Like, is it just one on each? Like, do you do like a warrior two? Like, is there like, or is it a full?
I haven't done yoga in a bit, but I haven't been doing yoga with her in a while. I don't think she's been doing it because she just had a baby. But I also just like, I'm like, you can keep having that however many dollars a month it is. Like, you know what I mean?
You're supporting. You're other oriented.
I'm
like,
other
I'm
oriented.
Yeah.
I got really into Patreon, you know, honestly, it was like after, we're going to go heavy. When George Floyd was murdered, I was like, my thought was like, who's going to tell the story? Like, I was like, who's going to tell this story? And so I sought out so many Black creators and was like, here's some money. Like, I don't know this is like, this, like my priority was like, giving creatives money to kind of, promote their platforms and like talk about what was going on in our country. And so that's when I first got into Patreon. I first started, like, because it is a good way to just be like, I don't know what to say about this. I can't contribute, but like, here are some people who can, and here's some money. And they make it really easy. Like Patreon makes it so easy for you to be like, what tier do you want to do? Like, here you go.
Yeah. This is not an ad for Patreon, by the way. Although,
sorry,
join
it's
ours.
Not.
No, I think that's great. There's two ways you can really do stuff, I think, to affect change in America these days. One is direct action.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't want to get arrested, though, you can give money to people
who are building community and mobilizing.
100%. Right. And that was me. Like, I went back to work early in the pandemic. We were in a pandemic, and I went back to work early, and I was leading a show, and I was like, I can't go and be active. I can't go do that, because if I get sick, then the show shuts down. Everybody loses their jobs. But I felt so inept doing nothing. Mm-hmm. And so they just gave money away.
Well, I want to go before, again, I know we're supposed to answer people's questions, but I have one. I'm just thinking about, you know, this other orientedness, the tenderheartedness. I'm worried. And do you get taken advantage of in your friendships and romantic relationships? Because I feel like it would be easy, because you seem like the kind of person who would like come in and fix a bitch. You know what I mean? You'd be like, I got you.
I probably do in my romantic relationships, which is why I'm like, I need to get some stuff in place before I can like pursue those seriously. I don't feel that way in my friendships. I feel like I have really cultivated like a good group of people that I feel like most myself around and feel like most comfortable around. And honestly, like, have kind of weeded out people from my life that don't make me feel like my best self and don't make me feel like I can, I don't know, laugh or cry or be like wherever I'm at with them. Like, I just don't really, I always say, like, as I've gotten older, like, I just, I have to use so much of that part of my brain at work of like niceties and like sort of surface level interactions because there's so many people on a set. There's so many people at work and you're always like meeting this executive or this guest star, or, like whatever, you know? And I, there's nothing wrong with those types of interactions. I think that they're like valuable, but I don't want to do them when it comes to my friendships. Like with my friendships, I want people that I can be like catatonic around or hyped up around or be wherever I'm at with, because I don't want to have to, I just don't want to engage that part of my energy sources. So I just don't do, I just don't do it in my personal life. It does, it gets muddy with romance, I think, and I'm still kind of wrapping my head around that.
Yeah. How long was the relationship that ended in 2019?
8 years.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
It was long. Yeah. And sort of like, you know, we had to extricate ourselves from each other. It was like a divorce. We lived together. We've been together all these years. Our finances, he lived, you know, like it was, so it was a doozy, I think.
Oh,
know,
yeah.
To undo that knot, I think, is something what I'm still working
and
on.
And then have to hunker down in isolation on top of, like, dealing with, like, as you said, separating, and then we all had to isolate.
I always say, like, I was killing it at the beginning of quarantine, because I was like, all I'm doing is, like, journaling and drinking herbal tea anyway. Like, that's perfect. Like, this is great. So I was like, for a couple months, I was like, this is fucking awesome. And then I was like, what's happening? This is... Is the world ending? What are we doing?
Right, right.
You know, and the bottom fell out a little bit. Guys, it wasn't the bottom.
Okay, why don't we take a quick break? When we get back, we're going to answer your advice questions.
Okay.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
And we're back with Allison Tolman here to help you handle your scandal, honey. Solo and group.
That's the blackout line. You know, like, that's the line where you run across the... where you sweep the scene. Allison, we get questions from all over. We get questions from Instagram, Twitter, Gmail. Voicemail is, of course... our favorite, Naomi. What is that number?
It's funny. My brain just went blank. 323-524-7839. Did I just have a mini stroke? Because I'm telling you, I only know like 5 phone numbers, and that is one of them. And then just now I was like,
name them.
7737.
Like, I know my parents' house number, not their cell phone numbers.
Yep.
I know your phone number.
Yep.
I know the call-in lines.
Yeah. And I know yours, my mom's. How did that?
Now, did you guys have to sit down and deliberately learn each other's cell phone numbers? Like, did you have to like?
Yes.
Or is it from like writing it on? Because I still know my long-term ex's cell phone number, but I think it's because I wrote it on things. I don't know, because I was always filling out paperwork for the both of us because he hated had terrible handwriting. I don't know. I don't know why I know. Like, why do I know that number?
I know. I don't. It wasn't even that. I wasn't even writing it a lot. I think it was just like my brain knew this was a number to know.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Right. Like I knew I should have it.
I think I purposely committed it to memory.
Right. The purposefulness, because you know, cell phone. It's like I'm looking at it. I'm just pressing his name.
And, yes, that's what I'm saying. Like right. you had to deliberately be like, this is the numbers yes. I should know.
Yeah. Yeah,
otherwise, yeah. when it's not like you're seeing it pop up all the time because you would just be seeing each other's names pop up all the time.
Yeah. Yeah. I think once I started to write you down as my emergency contact.
Mm. Yes. Yes. Yes.
Then that's when I started to memorize it.
Yeah. That makes sense. But now we have to focus on these questions.
People yes, sorry. Let's
people
do it.
Need
let's
us.
Do it.
No,
let's
no, no. People it. Need us.
Allison, these questions. Now, Naomi recently put out a call. She's put out two calls. One of them was, we need some less emotionally involved questions so that we can start with those.
Yeah, create a range. You know,
also,
for the guest.
I just put out a call for people to send in petty questions.
Oh, I love petty. I love messy. I want some just like low stakes anger.
People did start to send those in. We're not at them because I'm trying to. I'm also Allison. I don't know if you know this, but. I really want to answer people's questions in a timely manner, but we have a lot of them. We only record, you know, 4 a month. It's yeah. it's a
you've
deluge.
Got a backlog.
Oh, exactly, the backlog.
Okay. I'm trying.
And I've said to
folks,
people,
I'm trying.
They've got to put in their subject line time sensitive or something. Do you know what I mean? Because then you just like keep the question. And then like we had someone who was like, literally we answered their question 4 months after the problem. And it was like, well, I hope you're good now.
You guys need an assistant. Like, you need someone to sort through this stuff for you.
We have someone.
God damn it.
Our dear Mimi helps us. It still does. It's oh. more of the volume. It's a volume, like everything in America. There's too many people in need. And all our advice questions are going towards the 1%. I got to say, we're recording secret episodes for the Koch brothers.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
And that's where all our help is going. Sorry, folks. You know. We're capitalists at the end of the day, right? Right.
Andy, absolutely not. What's this first one?
Sorry. Yes. Okay. So anyway, I wanted to start with something that was a little easier. So here we go.
Hi, Andy and Naomi and wonderful guest. I love the podcast. It's my favorite. I go by, my pronouns are she, her. I have a really silly question. So I recently engaged. To my lovely fiance, we've been together a year and a half. I truly love him. But here's the thing. He dresses just okay. He never really dresses up. And nothing is wrong with how he dresses, but I would love for him to have a few more, nice articles of clothing, and I don't know how to suggest that. I can also buy him stuff too, like for presents. So I know that's one thing, but can I just wish he would just elevate his wardrobe a little bit. He mostly wears like Henley shirts, like solid color shirts, and like khaki shorts or khakis or jeans. Or just basic solid t-shirts. Yeah, and I kind of dressed up, not a lot, but more than him. So how do I elevate my partner's wardrobe in a kind way? Thanks for your help.
In a kind way.
That's the question.
Man, oh man. Well, my belief is that honest approach is better than like coming in the back door. I think they'll figure it out if you don't just come in the front door. And I guess I would say, like, does she get a new dress and she's like, babe, I'm gonna wear this new dress when we go to this party on that day or whatever. Like, what is her mirror image of this? Like, what's her part in it? Like, what's she doing? I know she says that she dresses up more than he is, but I always think that, like, while it's initially like awkward and a little scary, certainly as someone that you're planning on being married to, that you should just like approach things head on and be like, you know, I don't know that I would use the phrase, I want you to elevate your wardrobe. But maybe just like, it makes, you know, I dress this way. I bought this dress and I dress this way because I like to feel dressed up for you. I like to make it feel like it's special when we're going to do XYZ. And it would make me feel really special if you would do the same. Can we go shopping together? Like, can we pick you out some like other pieces? Because it just would make these date nights feel more special or whatever, feel more special. Mm. 'Cause that's really the crux of it, right? Is that like, she's like, it's not like she's like not attracted to Beyonce.
Right.
She just wants things. She wants to like elevate things a little bit.
Shake it up.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, what?
This is you.
Yeah. But if we do something nice, I dress up.
But I'm saying like, talk about kind of that process. 'Cause like, you're basically like a jeans and band t-shirt kind of guy. Mm. But I do feel like, again, we've been together a long time. You've opened yourself more up to like button downs with like prints and patterns. You know what I mean?
Sure, like, but I always wore. But like, I think this is where this is. There's a little bit of a disconnect. I always dressed up if the occasion called for dressing up. Right. My bar mitzvah. I made sure I wanted to be a night affair, so it could be black tie because I wanted to wear a little bow tie and a little cummerbund. Okay.
Yes, but I'm talking about something different. You know, of course, when the occasion calls for it, but that's also a fancy occasion. She might be talking about when we go to dinner at a cute place, when we go, as you said, Allison, to a party, mm-hmm. let's do a little extra.
But yeah, I do that.
I understand, but you did
so that's
not...
what I'm saying. But stop. I always did that.
Did you? You no, babe.
Oh my gosh.
No. You did not. Like, I know your wardrobe. I know the top. Because remember, you were wearing button downs to like, you know, the administrative day job. That stuff wasn't considered like fun clothing. You know what I mean? Like, it's like what you wear to work. Mm-hmm. And it would be like a plain white button down and then whatever you had to put over that.
Uh-huh.
Whereas like, I remember like even like our wedding, for instance, where you were like, I want to do a fun pattern for the suit. You were like, I'm not doing a plain suit. I'm doing like, you know, whereas before you wore the same gray suit to every event you had to go to.
I had like,
what are you? He's really taking issue with this.
Yeah, because I think maybe we're at a disconnect as to what's going on. I always, if the occasion, this is why this doesn't make sense to me. If the occasion called for it, I dressed up. When you say like fun pattern suit, it was just like a like crisscross pattern as opposed to a gray suit. But I always had like, it wasn't just a.
I'm not talking about whether you knew what the occasion called for.
It's driving me nuts. Here's my advice to this person. You got to seed this in. Take Allison's advice, but just in case you want another perspective, I say start talking about how like, hey, there's these weird new moths, and they for some reason go after like everyday clothing, and then just like talk about it just like once, just say that, and then like
this is terrible advice.
Make a.
That's why I'm sitting back away from the microphone, because he didn't even want to hear my ass when I said you used to wear plain ass shit and now you zhuzhed it up. It's not about the occasion appropriate as much as the style of the outfit.
Now I wonder if what we're talking about is like you that you want like you want to cultivate your partner's like self-expression and that you want to be like. What is it like? What is it like? I want to know you better. Like, what does it look like to you if you like open up this door a little? Like, if you crack this door. Yes. Well,
okay. So there's. Thank you, Allison. Thank you. That's the disconnect. I think I thought that she's saying he dresses up in like t-shirts and shorts for everything, whereas I think you're taking Naomi as that he's has no style. Period.
That's what I'm taking it as. And I'm taking too, because when we say elevate somebody, I think that's what we're talking about. We're saying like, give it a sense of style. But I thought
it was elevate as in, hey, don't, we're going to a black tie affair. Don't wear cargo shorts.
Yeah, no, that's not what I was saying. And if you had let me finish, you would have got there quicker. And I don't like us fighting in front of Allison because she didn't come here for that. She didn't come here for that. Who's afraid of Virginia Woolf situation?
Oh, no, this dinner party is taking a turn.
But, who's afraid of Naomi Wolf?
But I think that...
Isn't that crazy right-wing person?
If you don't let me stop, finish. I mean,
so sorry.
So, because I do think it is a little bit like, let me shop with you. Like, let's go shopping. Or if he's going, let me come with. And hold and like showing stuff. Because mm-hmm. I also think another thing is, this. He may have some, what's the word?
he may have self-consciousness around his body, right? Like, he just may wear stuff that's, like, simple and shapeless because he's like, I don't really need anybody to look at me. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And so I do think it will be you as his partner saying, like, you look nice in this, right? He may need a little bit of that confidence boost because I think we all feel like, well, can I pull this off or can I pull that off? Like, I was somebody who, growing up, I was wearing gray, navy, like, plain dark colors. And it's only been, I think, really in the last few years that I'm like, let me do a color. Let me do a pattern. Let me try to turn a look. Mm-hmm. And a lot of that was because I was like, I don't have a nice figure. I'm not attractive. I'm just trying to kind of go. Obviously, it was neat. It was clean. But it was like, actually, I would like you to not pay attention to me. Yeah. Like, I don't actually want to register as someone. So then you can't even realize, oh, she's not attractive. Mm-hmm. And I think it's been certainly like, and as I do more like TV stuff and stand-up sets, being like, okay, like, you can elevate this. You can look good. But that's like, that was part of it. And that may be part of the conversation you have with your partner. It's sort of like, oh, what about this? And then if he's kind of like, nah, it's like, what is it that you don't like?
Yeah.
Right? Is it feeling too flashy, quote unquote? Yes. Or are you feeling like you don't like how that looks across your chest? Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do see what you're saying. Yeah. Yeah, I think, I mean, it's kind of like, trying to like get our partners to like speak our love language, right? Like if you're into clothes and you're like, it's such a fun way to like show who you are and it feels so good, or like anything, if you're into working out, if you're into whatever, there's a part of you that's always going to want your partner to like get it. Like you want them to like get it, you know?
Yeah.
And so if she's the type of person who gets a lot of like sense of self out of like how she dresses and how she puts herself together, then it makes sense that she wants her partner to have like access to that as well. And he may not, like that may not be something that that's like just there for him.
Right.
And in which case, then she should just shop for him and put him in what she wants him in.
Right. Exactly.
Like
exactly.
A paper doll.
But maybe they don't know yet. They don't know what the answer is yet. Maybe, you know, I don't know.
Maybe you start small. Maybe they're into like, you know, Space Jam. So you start out with a t-shirt with Taz and a
t-shirt.
I bet that's not what she's talking about. But
I'd say start out there in the same way that remember my moth gambit. Okay, you say, hey, there's a new weird. Did you see this? There's a new weird moth. You hold up your phone. You have to make a fake Instagram post.
You have to make a fake page.
It's just moth that eats plain clothing, and then by the end of that, you've cut holes in all of his clothing.
Yeah, all of his Henley, all of his Henley shirts. Right. Yes. Tiny hole.
He has to buy. What's Henley? Don Henley? What's a Henley shirt?
Henley shirts are the shirts with like a crew collar that buttoned down like partway. Like,
okay, you're a fashionista. Okay,
well, Henley. I can't help it. Yeah. Henley shirts are like, like a plain crew collar, but that buttoned down.
It has a little half button.
I see.
Like maybe like three buttons or something that just have like a little.
Okay. Yes. Yeah. So we got to break him out of the solids and like whatever else. And I think, it's the kind of taking a little shopping trip, getting a gauge on what is or isn't appealing to him. And then kind of, and also, like I think any partner, right, is like showering them with the compliments and being like, babe, we love this look on you.
Yeah.
So that he is, interested in, getting that feedback.
But a direct approach is always best, I think.
Absolutely.
Yes. Just go in the front.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Do you have time for one more?
I do.
All right. Why don't we do this one? Naomi, would you like to read us?
Oh, sure.
This starts, help me, Andy and Naomi, you're my only hope. And this comes to us from Gmail.
Wow, the stakes are high.
I don't get that reference. I'm kidding. I was trying to see if I could make Andy mad.
I am neither a Star Wars nor a Star Trek guy, so.
I know, you wouldn't expect it, right?
I wouldn't expect it.
No, the way he talked about Zelda so passionately. Hi, Andy and Naomi. I've been binging your pod after the early and unexpected demise of I Love a Lifetime movie. That was a podcast I did with the hilarious Megan Gailey. The stories and advice have been hitting me hard, and I cannot get enough of it. I broke up with my first ever boyfriend. We were together for 6 months. 5 months, the day that Chicago locked down in 2020, because 2 days before that, he had gotten so drunk at my St. Patrick's Day party that he tried to fight one of my friends. Then when I was out walking my dog, a picture of him is attached, and that's gorgeous, he ate half a box of dog treats.
Wait, what? Say that, sorry.
Okay, look. They broke up with their first ever boyfriend because 2 days before, he had gotten so drunk at my St. Patrick's Day party that he tried to fight one of my friends. Then when I was out walking my dog, he ate half a box of dog treats.
The boyfriend.
The boyfriend ate half a box of dog treats.
Sorry, that's what I...
Started a fight and ate some dog treats. And I say, that is a line, okay? That is the line, and you say no more. I think this person is very smart.
I would say, the line is either of those, and definitely both in unison.
This was the same night?
Same night.
We're in a fight. I'm going to go walk the dog. I'm mad at you for getting drunk. And then she came back, and he had eaten half a box of...
Yes.
Dog treats.
Yes.
Okay. Please continue.
Addiction runs in my family, and seeing someone be so belligerent and unable to tell the difference between human food and dog treats was the biggest turnoff I could ever imagine.
Mm-hmm. Sorry.
I know. It's really good.
Hold on. Can we just take a moment? How do you, I'm sure this happens often, but can you imagine having to, I don't mean kiss someone right after they've eaten dog treats, but not have that image in your head for the rest of the time that you are with this person.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The fact that this is a two-parter is...
Right, exactly. two-hander.
Same night.
Yeah.
Babe.
If at some point you had eaten Mabel's treats, at some point.
Sure. Even the organic ones that taste like peanut butter. You'd be like, this ain't okay.
But 3 months later, we're kissing, and all I'm imagining is you just
Well, this is why the relationship ended.
Well, sure.
Listen, as a result of the breakup, I spent the horror that was 2020 completely alone in my apartment. I had occasional interactions with neighbors and would sometimes see friends, but I was one of the few people in my circle that was militantly following Fauci's orders.
Allison, I would like to point out that I chose these before I knew anything about you, besides what was in your Wikipedia.
That's totally fine.
I just want that known.
So I felt extra isolated when others were out and about. This isolation absolutely tanked my mental health. So at the end of 2020, I risked the COVID-infested world and moved back to my parents' house in Texas. Okay. How do we know?
Girl?
Now I'm 33, living with my parents and still putting the pieces back together. I'm paying off the credit card debt I racked up trying to buy myself some happiness. The Grubhub, the dog toys, vinyl records.
Yeah.
I've also recently started antidepressants and I'm just trying to generally be better at caring for myself. All of that said, these experiences of the last 3.5 years has shattered my confidence. I'm working a good job, but I'm living with my parents and probably will for another 2 years to save money. I don't know how to get back on the dating horse when I feel like I have this massive amount of baggage weighing me down. It's especially not great in Texas with abortion laws making casual sex feel too risky and with the COVID experiences having been drastically different. How do I put myself out there when I have all of this weighing on me? Thanks for all you do. Love to you in the menagerie. Emily. I didn't know if I could say the name or not, so I wanted to scroll up to make sure they weren't saying. You know what I mean?
Anonymous, yes.
Yeah.
We can say the name. We're okay to say the name?
Yes. I think so. They didn't say, don't say my name. Usually people say anonymous.
Emily. Oh, babe. First of all, welcome to the Antidepressant Club. Big fan. The gang is all here. Oh, sweetheart. So the crux of the question is how do I put myself back out there?
Yes.
How do
feel with all what she feels like is baggage, between living with the parents, having the debt.
I mean,
not being where she wants to be.
I guess here's the thing. There's two parts to this answer. One is maybe don't yet. Or do you want to, or do you just feel like you're supposed to?
Mm-hmm.
Cause that's what I'm dealing with is it's time. I should be over that breakup. It's time now, but I'm I don't think I want to do it. I don't want to do it.
Yeah.
So I guess that would be the first thing to poke around at and look at, why do I feel like I need to do this? Do you just need companionship? Do you want to have sex? Are there other ways you can do that? Can you have a cyber fuck buddy? I don't know.
I know, but she's saying the abortion laws in Texas make casual sex feel too risky.
Well,
yeah, but then that's what cyber fucking is. There's no risk if you're not actually.
I thought you meant find the person online and be like
no, no.
You said cyber fuck, not cyber truck. I was going to say those don't seem like I would not buy one of those.
I was just saying there's lots of forms of sexual partnership, and some of them involve no contact at all.
Yeah. Also, you don't have to. Doesn't have to be P&V.
You're right. I always forget that.
There's 30 other things you can do. Let's list them all.
That's true. And I really get that about like Texas not being a safe state, to feel like you can just be like a woman out dating in the world. And I mean, even not even just casual sex, but sex when you don't want, you're not interested in being pregnant. It's a scary time in Texas right now for that reason. And I get that. So I guess that would be the first part of the question is like, why do you feel like it's time to date again? And mm-hmm. and make sure that your motivations are like, not just based in feeling like you need to like tick something off the box or feel like I need to have something going for myself, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause she's saying like, I'm 33 and it's like, that don't matter. You know, sometimes
that doesn't matter.
Like, I'm of an age and I should be on the way. And it's like, mm-hmm. no, not necessarily like,
it doesn't fucking matter.
Yeah.
The cat is here now, and it kind of sounds like a pug. He has breathing problems, so if he snarfles into the microphone, that's why. I apologize, Emily. And then I guess the second part is like, how do you? And if she's like, I really am ready. I really want this. I really want a relationship. We're never ready. Like there's never going to not be any baggage, and so like, what are you waiting for? And also everyone has baggage. So it's not like you're going to meet somebody who's like got all their shit together and you can't be like forthcoming about what all your shit is.
Right.
And if you did, that would be a major red flag. That person's not real. They're lying to you. lying to you.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're conning you. They're setting themselves up to be the subject of a true crime podcast.
Exactly. Don't fall for that.
Yeah.
But I think that, you know, I do believe that the idea that we have to like be whole or like, you know, how are you going to love somebody else? You can't love yourself. I do believe that's false. I think that like we can get a lot of healing from relationships mm-hmm. and we can get a lot of growth alongside of a person, romantic or otherwise. So I don't know. The idea that you need to have certain things in place is in order to like have things to offer other people is false.
Yeah.
You have plenty of things to offer other people, regardless of what your job situation is and what your living situation is and what your mental health situation is.
Yeah.
So if you feel like you're ready and you have things to offer people and you have an idea of like what you want to get out of dating, then you should try it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, nothing is permanent. You can back out again. You can be like, oop, wasn't ready. Oh, the bottom fell out. And you can take a step back.
I agree with all of that. I also think to me, the first step is like, you know, I always think it's better to go into dating, not like I need to find a partner, and more I'm interested in meeting people out in my area and like having a good flirt, right? Because there is something even just charging, again, as you said, growing alongside people, but also just like remembering you're attractive, like remembering that like you can have a good time and a good conversation. And I think, you know, these things you're dealing with, it is about reframing them. First of all, America is impossible to live in. So you living with your parents is like, that's like, no knock on you.
Like that exactly. is, that's where like, that's life for anyone who's not born to wealth at this point, right? Is that possibility? Yeah. Also like how
having
many,
debt.
Everyone's in debt. I would say most wealthy people are probably in debt. And, you know, except for the fact that they have property and some stolen Picasso somewhere, right? That, you know, that's the only slightly, not even liquid asset.
Right. Well, so I'm like, so both of those things, like, aren't a problem. And also, like, to me, like, your ex-relationship, that don't say nothing about you. It says that you know when to cut them loose and you ain't playing games.
Yeah.
Like, you're not being like, oh, well, he was just drunk and it's fine. It's like,
no,
you shut it down.
You know when to hold them and when to fold them.
Which you need to do in Texas. Absolutely. And then also another thing, because you talk about kind of the COVID of it all and all this. There are, if you Google, if you look up, a lot of cities have like COVID conscious groups, communities, meetups. Mm-hmm. I follow a lot of different ones on Instagram, and they're places where they just like have events and they'll be like, oh, we're all going to meet in this park, or, you know, masks required to go to this show. And that's something you can find if you seek it out. And that may be a way to just like meet folks who are on that same page. And then who knows if somebody's cute, if you're like making eyes under the mask, you know what I mean? And you're,
that's like, a good question. Like, is Emily looking for a partner, or is she looking for community? And I think that we mistake the two often, because we're told that like we're sold the idea that what's going to make us feel a sense of belonging is a single person and a single partner. But that is, I think, a lie. It's not the case. Like, what we actually need is community. What we're really lacking right now, what COVID really took from us, the reason why QAnon really took off is because we're yearning for community. We want, we need community. There's like a loneliness epidemic, and that is actually better solved by groups of people, like-minded people, and not by a single person.
Yes.
And I think you're so right. Like, Naomi, I think a lot about how when I do go back to dating, I want to embrace the idea of like intentionless dating, like not dating with the purpose of finding a partner, but just like of learning more about myself, of having fun, of experiencing pleasure, of like all these different things that it's hard to prioritize when you're thinking like, can I see myself with this person? Yeah. How would it be if I introduced them to my family? Like, it's hard.
Yeah.
You know, it's hard to do that.
Totally.
Writing your name and their last name in your notebook.
my diary over and over again.
Yeah.
Stop.
It's like, that's the stuff that can make it unfun, basically. Yeah. Cause then it's,
yeah,
just like,
it makes
it's a
it
job
feel like
a,
it's so outcome oriented. And I think that like being outcome oriented will almost always make you, lose like the pleasure of the experience along the way and the joy and the things that you can learn along the way. I think it's a smart advice though, the idea of like sort of getting her out into community, especially, you know, in Texas, it's like, it's hard, to be in a state where you kind of feel like, well, who is like-minded? Like who, who is like me? But there's a lot of people who feel that way in Texas.
Yes.
And so you can find them and you can start there as a jumping off point.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, yeah. Plus, there's probably a lot of outdoor activities in
Texas. Yeah, because you got that good weather. Yeah.
I think you're right. There are more people than you think that are decent human beings. More things unite us.
Yes.
I think, I mean, real, like, not to get too much of this, but like the things that divide us are the wealthy versus us. That's that really is
capitalism.
If you look at what the priorities are of most human beings versus like, again, like the Mercers, the Koch brothers, these freaks, then you see that, oh yeah, most of the things we all believe are kind of like uniting us. And there's, look, plenty of, sex stuff you could do outside too, right?
Okay, stop. Now you're done. You started out strong and then you went crazy. So that's that. That's that.
And look, QAnon, I don't know why we're ragging on QAnon here. What's their logo? What's their motto?
Where we go one, we go all. That's community.
All of us. It's inclusive,
community.
Right?
Good.
I don't know anything else they believe, but at least...
You haven't been paying attention?
No, I don't know anything else been dialed about in. Them, but I like that motto, right?
Oh my God, we're insane. Allison. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you very much.
This was beautiful. You really came with an open heart and a loose butt, and we thank you for that.
I try.
Yeah.
Thank you guys so much for having me. I'm such a fan. Come join me on Patreon, listeners.
By the way, back at you.
Back at you, such fans. All right, you guys. We'll see you next week.
Bye.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market. Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.